Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, myself and co-host Desmond Bennett talk with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk also with our local fisheries biologist, Max Walter, and then lastly, some great walleye tips from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Springtime is the time to buy a new Polaris off-road vehicle at Hayward Power Sports. During the spring sales event, rebates go as high as $1,500 and financing is as low as 3.99%. Live your life wide open in a high-performance RZR. Tackle anything from mountains to mud holes on a legendary Sportsman ATV. Get more done with a hard-working Ranger. Or take on any task or trail in a versatile Polaris General. Whatever you're looking for, now's the time to take your pick from off-road's best-selling lineup. Visit us 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or at haywardpowersports.com for rebates up to $1,500 and financing as low as 3.99% APR for 36 months during the Polaris Spring Sales Event.
Offer valid in the U.S. through 4/30/19 on new 2015 through 2019 vehicles. Subject to credit approval. Offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride. See Hayward Power Sports just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and in there to this week, we've got our co-host Desmond Bennett. Good morning, Desmond.
Good morning, folks.
And we've got Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy again. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
What's going on out there in our outdoors? We're into the mid part of April, basically, and, you know, things are melting down fairly fast.
All good things. As we're recording, we still have a little trace of ice still hanging and walling around. Most of our rivers are open and well filled. Spring is in the air, though.
You bet. As we get rid of that, there'll probably be a few guys that they don't care if the ice is real shaky at best. They're trying to sneak out there.
Oh yeah, they get the extension ladders out. But for some, that's but some guys are starting to slowly put that gear away and start dusting off that summertime tackle and whatnot.
You heard any reports from up by the big lake as far as anybody finding anything up there on the rivers or up by the hot pond or anything?
I know a few reports coming out of the south shore as well as the Brule. We had a little bit higher water, a little bit muddier and stained, but I would take that on an opener weekend any day of the week versus low and clear water. So a lot of fish were caught, a lot of shorts, where guys were having to release. So because they do have a specific slot limit for those size class fish to be harvested, but those guys were getting fish, no doubt.
Anybody getting out on any of the rivers here? By the time this airs, I'm sure there'll be a few people out sucker fishing and trying here.
Yeah, I know some guys are kind of keeping an eye on the rivers, looking for when those suckers, the red horses, are actually running. We do have some trout season is in full force, and anglers have been getting out, chasing brook trout and brown trout and actually doing pretty good. And as we kind of continue on with spring, it should only get better with the water temps warming a little bit.
I already had reports coming back, press releases and stuff coming back. One of your favorite fishing holes up there on the Rainy River, they've been after that for a couple of weeks already.
Oh yeah, I've seen a couple of buddies of mine that have been up there with a Facebook post or two, and some big walleyes already been caught up there the last week or so.
In Fox River too. So, there have been guys getting out. I haven't heard much from down on the Mississippi, but that's been running pretty high.
Yeah, and I think that's deterred a lot of anglers setting down that way just with the high water.
you know. And as we're airing this here, a few days before the first turkey season opens, I started to see more and more birds out there getting out now that the snow is getting going away.
Yeah, once that snow departs, it seems like they start getting back into that spring swing. They're able to find a lot of their food sources and whatnot, and seems like they disappear for a while, but now they're ever prevalent.
Well, I think if some of them maybe disappeared permanent, they might have not made it through that winter with all that snow. But, you know, it seems like I was kind of happy to see that there's some fair number of birds out. And I actually saw a big tom here a couple days ago as I'm recording this out there on 77. He had a whole herd of hens out there, and he had his tail all fluffed out and he ready to go.
Oh, yeah, that's what we look forward to this spring.
You bet. As far as getting things ready to go, I know, Desmond, you're just waiting to get your boat dragged out as we're talking here to start working on that. I'm already working on mine.
Yep, you and I have been talking quite a bit about some additions a first-time boat owner can do.
Yeah, you know, and there is, we'll talk a little bit about that toward the end of the show here, but I know, Eric, you ain't got yours out yet.
No, I don't have a whole lot to do. I mean, I'm going to pull her out. I might be putting a new unit on it, but it's not going to take me too long to get her ready. I might give her a nice buffing, you know, that fiberglass, give it a good buff. I put her away clean. She'll come out clean. It's just a matter of getting her out running her, making sure she's running good once the lake's open.
I think they'll be open before the season, the smaller lakes especially, because I had one guy told me, you know, a few days ago here already on a small lake, he only had 12 inches of ice everywhere he went.
Wow, yeah. So we should start seeing some changes to where some guys could potentially go out and do some open water crappie fishing. So
let's hope. And if anybody's getting ready for the season, whether it's ice fishing or whether it's turkey season, come on down here, Hayward Bait. You guys, right now, as we're airing this, you're still trying to put stuff away.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff that we got coming in. A lot of new products. You know, we've expanded on some of our great products like Strike King, Kitech, as well as Jackal, and a ton more other products that we're carrying for lineups this year. If for any reason we don't carry it, we'll order it for you.
It's the Hayward Superstore of outdoor stuff.
It's quite interesting. I mean, if anyone is able to come on in, you know, we were just a little shop at one point in time back in, I think, mid-50s.
Oh, I think it was just a little cement block building.
And now it's a little bit bigger sports shop, which has been great. And we should have a fun season ahead of us.
Yeah, Eric, I want to thank you for coming in here and sharing great information with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, John.
And Desmond, we're going to take a break right now, and in the next segment, I've got Max Walter coming in here, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season, and if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Can-Am Spring Fever event is on now at Hayward Power Sports with the Can-Am family of off-road vehicles that are built for this. They're built for seeing the sunrise and for days lasting past sunset. They're built for trails, tasks, and tough times. And they're built to move you through what won't move. So how do you become built for this? By getting to the Spring Fever event at Hayward Power Sports and finding a brand new Can-Am off-road vehicle with a $2,000 rebate on select 2018 models for a limited time.
Certain restrictions apply, subject to credit approval. See Hayward Power Sports for program details.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Myrie, and co-host Desmond Bennett. And Desmond, you know, I talked to Max Walter on the Rec and Corner Room. He's been great as far as his job as a fish biologist here.
Absolutely. He's so involved with anybody in the community that really wants to kind of hear from him and his expertise.
You know, and that's something I've been talking about for many, many years, going back 20, 25 years at least, maybe longer, is that this is a community thing. We need to all be involved with it. We can't just say that's a DNR's job to take care of the fisheries. We all have to think about what we're doing out there and what needs to be done and everything else.
Absolutely. You know, we are stewards of the outdoors that we're taking advantage of, so we should all participate.
Well, I talked to Max, and Max has got a whole lot of things they're planning for this spring, a bunch of lake surveys. So let's hear what Max had to say about that. And when we come back, we'll have another interview and a wrap-up on the show. Well, Max, you know, it's that time of year where you get out pretty soon, do your spring thing as far as fisheries research and keeping track of our fisheries up here. What you got on the schedule for this spring?
It always seems like an impossible list when we start the spring. You know, you look at all the lakes we're going to try to get to.
So much to do, so little time.
So much water to cover. But you just kind of have to get into it and start picking it apart. And this is the time of year where we're kind of setting up those plans, you know, getting into the 40s, maybe 50s a couple days here. You know, still going to be a couple weeks before ice out from the time we're recording this. But we're going to be on a number of, you know, big lakes in the area as well as some of the smaller ones. So we'll be on the triple flowage. We're going to be on the west side looking mostly at walleye, a little bit with pike and perch. We're going to be on Round Lake looking at all species, tiger cat flowage, looking at muskies and pike, Spring Lake, all species there for the most part. Those are kind of the big ones that we're gonna be planning to hit. And if we can get to places like Mud Callahan and Lower Clam, that's kind of the next tier for us as far as other destinations.
Well, you know, walleye's been a big thing on your thing for a few years now, because we were losing ground there for a while, and it seems to me that we're actually gaining ground in some places like the Chippewa flowage for one right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think we're seeing an increase in the numbers in the Chippewa flowage. There's a few other lakes where we might be seeing an increase right now. Quite a few where we're still having to stock quite a bit to maintain some fisheries, and the densities aren't as high as we'd like them to be, right? We always want more walleye. But we'll be checking up on a couple of the different lakes. Round's going to be interesting for looking at walleye, too. You know, we still see a lot of young walleye coming into the system. Depending who you talk to on the angler side, that's not necessarily translating into more adults. Some people seem to be doing well, some people aren't. So it'll be interesting to get out there and try and collect some data on that population.
That'd be mostly netting type thing.
Yeah, so the way we do it, netting, fike netting, which is basically like a giant minnow trap, that's the gear that we use for walleye, pike, muskie, crappie, and perch. And then we let the water warm up a little bit more. We come back and we shock, and that's when we'll do both the bass species, bluegill, pumpkin seeds, things like that.
You know, when you catch those walleyes too, the one thing you do like a fin clip or something on them so you can keep track, and then you go back in the fall and somehow you're able to shock and come up with a population estimate that way?
Yeah, so, yep, the process for us to actually estimate the number of walleye in the lake, like, you know, there's 10,000 walleye in Round Lake. That involves us having to mark those fish, which you mentioned. So sometimes we'll clip a portion of the fin. That fin will grow back, but we'll be able to identify that clip long enough that we can tell which fish we've handled, which fish we haven't. So we'll come back after we've done some clipping, and those fish have mixed back into the lake. We get another sample, and then we look at the proportion of the clipped to unclipped fish, and we can use some equations to estimate how many are out there.
Because it's basically an estimation, though. But it has proven to be pretty close, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's the best we have. You're obviously not going to be able to drain the lakes and count every one of them. But that's a really important thing that we do, not only from the standpoint of guiding our management and telling us whether we need to be doing more to try and increase populations, but it also has a lot of implications for the tribal harvest system as well. So, you know, the numbers of fish that tribal members are harvesting off out of lakes is all set by, you know, that data, that science. So we build in a safety factor and we allow for a certain amount of harvest based on our estimate of how many are actually out there.
You know, and it's not just walleye. You'd be looking at other stuff, but walleye is a predominant thing.
Yeah, we do that most commonly with walleyes. The next most common species we do it with are muskie. And again, that's because those are the species that are most commonly harvested in the tribal fishery, as well as, you know, a lot of harvest of walleye by sport anglers too. Sometimes we'll do it for something like bass or pike. We've done that in the area. Doing it for something like panfish would be Oh, that would be a lot of work on a bigger lake. I don't know if we could pull it off just doing it for one species. There's a lot of effort that goes into generating that one number, which is how many walleye are out there.
Well, you know, when it comes to some species, like panfish and walleyes in particular, you're looking at a higher harvest rate level. And, you know, the size limits and stuff are one thing. Is it making a big difference, you think? What's making the big difference in the walleyes coming back?
For walleyes, you know, we have gone to more protective regulations in quite a few places, certainly more protective than they were 20 or 30 years ago. And that's all related to less new walleye recruiting into the system in general. The trend has been downward. So a few places we've seen it continue to do well or maybe even go up a little bit, but mostly it's gone down. And so that's really the thing that needs to change to see walleye starting to increase across the boards is seeing more of that natural recruitment. And that's still the big issue in our area. And we don't have, you know, an immediate fix where we can go out and say, this is the exact thing we need to do to get them reproducing again. We haven't found that yet.
You know, that extended growth stocking made a big shot in the arm to get things going that way. But, you know, I think the regulations basically are making some people put some walleyes back versus a lot of walleyes didn't ever go back before.
Right, yes. So that helps us build up the density. It also gives those fish at least a chance to spawn a few times before they're harvested, even if we're not yet seeing a lot of young fish being produced by those naturally spawning fish.
So. Well, I don't think people have any idea what the percentage of walleyes that get harvested or die from all different reasons, but I did see you last spring come up with a figure on crappies, and it was amazing the number of adult crappies that just never made it from one year to the other.
Yeah, it's not uncommon at all for 50% of the adult crappies to die in a lake in any given year, and that's... That number kind of blows people away, you know,
yeah.
But that's a big reason why you don't see 12, 13, 14 inch crappies super commonly is because there's a very high chance of those fish dying before they get to that age or that size, which go together.
Well, you know, that's natural mortality and predation and everything else, but a big chunk of it is harvest, right?
Right, yeah. So it's all those things combined. It's us eating the crappies, it's predators eating the crappies, diseases, parasites, winter kill, you know, whatever. There's a million bad things that can happen when you're a little fish. But that it really adds up, and it can be high for other species as well. We did an estimate on the Chippewa flowage that found, yeah, you know, a lot of the adult walleye are going away at a pretty fast rate there too, and angler harvest is probably playing a pretty significant role.
You know, and I keep going back to this one thing. I was talking to one of the biggest pro fishermen out there on the phone one day years ago, and back in the early 90s when the crappie harvest, the creel survey on the chip was like a 250,000 fish would come out of there. And I mentioned that to him, and he just said, Johnny, he said, there's no lake out there that can withstand that. And lo and behold, the crappies disappeared a couple of years later. I don't know what happened there, but it makes a difference.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there's no question that we are one of the biggest forces impacting our fish population. So that's where regulations come into play, and it's my job and our job through the Conservation Congress as well. To find a balance between what's going to, you know, protect and preserve the quality of our fisheries, but also allow people to have that fish fry and harvest. So that's the balancing act, right?
You did some stuff this winter, too, that'll make a difference on some lakes like the Chip. I think you guys put a bunch more trees down and stuff, too, to habitat work.
Yeah, we did. We dropped close to 600 more trees in the Chippewa flowage, bringing our total for that project up to almost 1,000 trees.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's cool. That, of course, creates places where people like to fish. They like having that structure to target, especially in the spring. There's going to be panfish all over those things. A biologist, out of Mercer did a really cool project where he looked at a lot of these lakes in the National Forest where they'd done tree drops and fish cribs and all this stuff. And he set it up like a study where he could look at it and say, okay, if you do all these tree drops or you do all these fish cribs, you actually get benefits to the fishery. And he found that, yeah, they did. So that was kind of nice proof of concept, showing that it does create, you know, more fish, bigger fish. Those are some pretty simple fish communities, mostly just bass and bluegill. But it was a really neat project, and it really validated a lot of the work that's being done around the state on those types of habitat.
Well, you know, we're talking about wood, too. When you're talking about wood, I've heard a lot of comments come back. Oh, we got a lot of logs in the lake, and I look at that particular lake, and it's a lot of bigger wood, bigger logs. Not a lot of the fine branches and the twigs and stuff. That's the important thing, is having that small stuff, I think, sometimes for some of the smaller fish.
Yeah, it can be. There's a lot of work out there showing, you know, you need that structural complexity, and the fish all respond to it in different ways, whether they're predators or prey. And then, you know, what these trees are a nutrient source and a surface for bugs and algae. And, of course, you know what likes to eat bugs and algae.
Right, fish do.
Fish love eating bugs. So, and we like eating fish. So it's kind of, you're supplementing the food chain, really, by putting a tree in the water.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about that you got planned for this spring here with the projects.
Well, yeah, we always, once we get into it, we find more projects, or the projects find us, maybe. But sometimes we do some assessments of spawning sturgeon on the Chippewa River down by Radisson. That's really fun when that comes together, have the right conditions. And then we always try to get involved in, you know, different events and things going on. I think I'll be out at Deerfoot before fishing opener talking about the Chippewa flowage. Do something at the Treeland Walleye Challenge as well. Getting involved in some of the other different events going on in the area. Talking to lake associations. Yeah, the month of May pretty much just evaporates for me, but I like it. You know, it's a fun, it's an exciting time of year to see everybody coming outdoors and enjoying things again.
And you're actually, I've seen your email from you. Sometimes you're looking for people to volunteer to help on stuff.
Yes, I keep a list, an email list of people that are interested in doing that kind of stuff, and we try to get as many people out as possible. It's helpful for us. The people who come out seem to generally enjoy it. Some of them even come back multiple times, and they get to kind of, you know, see what it's like being a DNR fisheries person for the day and seeing lots of fish. That's always the goal.
If you haven't been on a shock boat, you gotta try it sometime. It's kind of interesting watching what's going on and the amount of work goes in. And you know, it's enjoyable doing this kind of stuff, whether you're out there as a fishing guide or you're fishing or doing stuff, because the more active we are, it keeps us younger, I think.
I think so, too. Especially that first couple months after the ice goes out, everybody's been cooped up. We are ready to get out and enjoy some open water fishing. I am, for sure.
You bet. Max, I want to thank you very much for coming on here.
Thanks, and good luck to everybody when they get out fishing.
Well, Max is always interesting. I have to get him this summer a couple of times on the show, but right now we do need to take another break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. When we return, we've got a little interview with fishing guide Steve Jensen talking about aggressive walleyes, and we'll talk about that and a lot more.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Desmond Bennett. And Desmond, you know, the thing we're starting to see more and more and more of over the last quite a few years now is people, instead of just sitting there and slow fishing for walleyes and a lot of other fish, it's been fishing fast, aggressive, trying to do things. A lot of that is a tournament-generated mentality.
Absolutely. You're seeing a lot of that change that you're talking about.
You bet. I had a chance to talk to fishing guide Steve Jensen about going after walleyes rather than just sitting there dunking a minnow or a leech on a slip bobber or going after them more aggressively. So let's hear what he had to say about that. Well, Steve, you know, once we get to open water and get out there walleye fishing, typically the way most people go after walleyes is jig and minnow to start with. But as the season progresses, there's some pretty aggressive approaches that you can actually go after and try to make fish bite, right?
Oh, absolutely, John. You know, we've talked about this before. It's kind of been the emerging scene in the walleye world is actually not using live bait hardly at all anymore and almost going exclusively with artificials. Many of the top walleye guys, including the Linders and many others, very rarely take live bait anymore, John, and I'm certainly learning some of those techniques, and I've really started to apply them, and yeah, there's a lot of different things you can do to catch walleyes.
You know, a lot of people try it, but they really don't succeed at it, and I think it's they don't quite get aggressive enough. They just so ingrained that we got to slow way down and got to, you know, and actually you get real aggressive snapping and moving that bait.
Yeah, it can all vary from day to day, there's no doubt, but I think a lot of guys just don't have the confidence and don't put the time in. With a new technique, they'll try it for an hour or so, and if they don't get bit, they go back to their standard jig and minnow, and then it takes them another hour to get a bite. So a lot of times I think it's just a matter of taking a tactic and putting it to use and making yourself make it work. You know, and that's what I've been doing the last few years, is taking some of these tactics and fishing them long enough so that you learn where it works, learn how it works, and learn when it's effective.
Well, one of the things that works really good in the weeds, I know, is like a paddle tail swim bait. So mm-hmm. things, are, you rig them up, you can snap those things through some awful good weeds.
Absolutely. And the other thing I do with them is just a super slow roll through the weeds, and it's amazingly effective. There is times where I will fill my limit with, or my live well with the limit of walleyes on those artificials, and you can be standing up front with a jig and a minnow, and you're not going to get a bite. And there's vice versa days, don't get me wrong. There's days where I can slow roll those things and not get nailed, and my jig and minnow guy will be cleaning up. So you do have to be aware of that and be ready to do both. But there are many days where we're not using live bait at all, we're just throwing plastics. Those paddle tails work very well. I like straight minnows too, and also things like the jigging wrap outside of the weed edges can be very effective. There's a lot of different things you can do.
Boy, it's interesting. Yeah, you want to get out your guide info quick?
Yeah, you bet, John. If anybody wants to get out and try and catch some walleyes on artificials this year, I know a few tactics to try. Get a hold of me at fishhunts.com or on my cell at 715-558-3709.
That's interesting, you know, and I've been doing a lot more of that myself now, is just covering a lot of territory. And the big key there is to find the fish and not on the structure they're on. And not every, you take a hump out in the middle of the lake or a bar, not everywhere on that bar is good. There's always going to be one or two little tiny spots that are better than other spots. And being able to find that with your electronics and your new lake mapping, and now you've got, with the hummingbirds, you've got this auto chart live, which you can go in and you can remap the top of that bar, and you can find all these little fingers or a rock pile or a bunch of chunk rock, places that hold the fish. And then if you start throwing those active baits in there, like a jigging wrap or a puppet minnow or a jigging spoon or that type of thing, and snapping it in there, you're landing it right in the middle of the fish. The odds of you getting hit really start to go up.
Right. You're combining your electronics and knowing that the fish are there with that aggressive presentation and just kind of doubling your chances.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about a couple of things getting, you know, ready. You've got your boat. We talked about that earlier. You got a lot of things to start thinking about as a new boat owner and going through and checking things. And one of the things I'm going to tell you need to check is the wheel bearings on the trailer. It got probably got bearing buddies on it where you got grease zerks.
I'm going to have to look and see. I know, but I've already had a flat on it.
If it does have, that still doesn't mean that you don't have to take them apart and check the bearings, mm-hmm. because they get water in there and they'll tend to, you know, corrode, and then you got a problem going to the lake someplace or coming home late at night. That doesn't work very good. You know, the other thing is make sure your batteries are up and just go through the boat.
Absolutely. That's what I plan to do while we're waiting for all this ice to clear. You got to do something.
You bet. We're talking about that, you know, and, you know, as far as new gear and equipment, they got a lot of stuff here at Hayward Baiting and new electronics, hummingbird stuff out at Hayward Power Sports, one of our sponsors also. Got a lot of stuff out there. So if you're looking for that new gear, getting ready, stop out to one of our fine sponsors and check it out. You know, we're out of time for this week, and I want to tell people that now the radio show is on our podcast site. You can find the link to that at wnoradio.net on the internet, but it automatically posts when I post it on the podcast site. It automatically goes to Spotify. It goes up on my YouTube channel, and it goes on to Facebook. So if you search for John Myrie in our Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, you're going to find it out there in any one of those media.
Absolutely. We're getting pretty easy to find these days.
Desmond, it's been a good weekend here. Let's hope that we get spring going full tilt.
Absolutely. Thanks, folks.
And folks, we're out of time for this week. We'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.